Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Barbaros Erkasa comes from a long line of musicians from a Roma or Gypsy family in Turkey. His grandfather played the clarinet in a military band. His father was a composer and played the oud. His uncle was a violinist in Istanbul's Turkish radio. So both Barbaros and his brothers became musicians too, and they recorded together as the Brothers Erkasa. But Barbaros also grew up listening to a lot of American jazz, and in his solo career, he's explored the sounds of both gypsy music and Benny Goodman. He's in New York this week for a rare American performance. Here he is with members of the New York Gypsy All-Stars and a live performance of a piece called Horo. Here is Barbaros Erkasa on Soundcheck. That's called Horo. It's a work by the Turkish clarinetist Barbaros Erkasa, playing here in our studio with members of the New York Gypsy All-Stars, Panayotis Andreou playing the bass, and Tamir Pinarbasha playing the kanun, which is the zither-like instrument. And also joining us is Mehmet Dede, co-producer of the New York Gypsy Festival, which is presenting Barbaros Erkasa tomorrow night at the Lafayette Grill at 9 o'clock. And Mehmet, the sound of Barbaros' music, it's there's a lineage to it. There's a whole family behind it, but there's also this kind of jazz inflection. Is that an uncommon thing to be combining these two?
It kind of is, yes. I think it has to do with the personality of Barbaros Erkasa as this person who loves Western ideas and influences. He listened to a lot of American jazz when he was growing up in Turkey, and that definitely influenced his sound.
Now, is that unusual, to grow up listening to Benny Goodman and the rest?
It is, yes, it is. Absolutely.
So how did that happen?
Well, I have to say that Barbaros Erkasa is somebody who is an anomaly when it comes to Turkish gypsy music, because he was the first person who actually brought the sound of the clarinet into the state radio. Back in the 50s and the 60s, in Istanbul, Ankara, and Izmir, the three main cities. And then in Turkey, the state radio would only use the clarinet as part of more like belly dancing music and dancing music, really. He brought it as a solo instrument, and it was through him that the state radio started to feature more clarinet players as part of their programming. So even with that, you know, he was a pioneer. And then, yeah, like you mentioned, Benny Goodman was a big influence on him, Harry James, trumpet player. Mm-hmm. He listened to these American artists, and that sound influenced his own sound.
So this sound would be different than from what his father, his uncle, his grandfather would have been playing.
Yes, because that was more traditional, absolutely. And he really liked the tone of, say, Benny Goodman, mm-hmm. the tone of the clarinet.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess a lot of Balkan clarinet playing, it might be a stylistic thing. I think there are reeds that they use that are different as well, because there's kind of a sharper, more piercing quality. He seems to go for that kind of liquid, you know, that smooth.
Absolutely. He's definitely more emotional. That's what I like about his music. It has a lot of feelings.
So why is it so rare for us to have a chance to hear? I mean, he's had a long and very successful career in Eastern Europe. Why so rare to have the opportunity to hear him here in the States?
He actually came to, this is his seventh visit to the United States. It's not that he's not coming. He's coming with different ensembles at different occasions. The last time he performed was in 2002 at Joe's Pub with Astrakhan Cafe, which as a side player, it was primarily the band of...
was a side player.
He was, yeah. He was the clarinet player of the ensemble, which include Anwar Ibrahim, mm-hmm. the Tunisian oud player. He performed at Symphony Space in 2000. He came in 1993. Like I said, he's been coming often. It's just that he's one of those under-the-radar gypsy clarinet players. And he performs to stay as this person who only is mentioned with quality music as opposed to showmanship or mm-hmm. anything else.
How much of a tradition is there? I mean, you mentioned the tradition of gypsy clarinet. Is that a long-standing tradition?
It is, absolutely. It goes back to the early 20th century. His father was an oud player. Both his parents are from Greece, from Salonik, near Salonik. And his grandfather is from Egypt. So he had all these influences growing up.
Which doesn't mean that he was either Turkish or, I mean, Greek or Egyptian, right?
Absolutely. He was Turkish, but under the Ottoman rule in the late 19th century as well as the early 20th century, those areas, his family came from that area to Turkey to live in Bursa, and that's where he was born, and he was raised in Istanbul.
Mm-hmm. So, in fact, that seems to have been the way a lot of the Roma or Gypsy musicians got to Turkey. They were
Absolutely.
Part of the Ottoman Empire,
yes.
and when that collapsed, they were sort of... You'd have pockets of them in Greece and
Absolutely.
Bulgaria and mm-hmm. Egypt and Lebanon, and they would eventually make their way back.
Mm-hmm. And there were some exchanges from time to time, like large groups of people moving from Greeks, moving from Istanbul to Greece, mm-hmm. and then Turks from Greece to Turkey as well. Most of the Balkan, most of the Gypsy tradition in Turkey is actually based around Thrace, the northwestern side of Turkey, as well as the western side, the Aegean Sea, and more around the Istanbul area.
So really the southeastern corner of Europe is kind of the hotbed of
is,
where
yes.
this music comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
We're speaking with Mehmet Dede, who's co-producer of the New York Gypsy Festival. They're presenting Barbaros Erkasa tomorrow at the Lafayette Grill as part of the New York Gypsy Festival at 9 o'clock. The pieces that Barbaros is playing for us today, these are both his own compositions. The mm-hmm. first one, more of a kind of a dance rhythm to it.
Yep.
One of those Balkan dance rhythms.
Yeah, it's a 7/8.
That we Westerners find ourselves counting like crazy to keep up with. What's this next one?
The next song is called Sensiz Yaşanmaz, a Turkish tune which can be translated as Can't Live Without You. It's, again, an original tune. It's a little more emotional. It's a ballad, and he says that he's looking towards the West, sort of looking for a Western feel and sound on this song. So let's hear it.
Barbaros Erkasa and members of the New York Gypsy All-Stars live on Soundcheck. Thank you. It is music from the Turkish clarinetist and composer Barbaros Erkusa, I should say. The piece called I Can't Live Without You and played here in our studio with Panayotis Andreou playing the bass and Tamir Pinarbashe playing the kanun, the zither. They are both members of the New York Gypsy All-Stars, and Barbaros Erkusa performing tomorrow as part of the New York Gypsy Festival at the Lafayette Grill. You can get details online at nygypsyfest.com. We're speaking with Mehmet Dede, the co-producer of the New York Gypsy Festival, and of course you can find them through our website, the Soundcheck page as well. Listening to that, I thought at first chamber music. Almost. And then this kind of like jazzy break in the middle where everyone gets to take a solo and stuff. It really is kind of a mix of these different styles. Where does this music stand in sort of the Turkish spectrum, going from like popular music on the one end to kind of classical on the other?
Mm-hmm. Actually, it reminds me of Autumn Leaves when I listen to the song, you know, parts of it too. Turkish gypsy music is having a revival of some sort in the 2000s. It was popular for a while in the 60s and 70s, then it kind of died off, and it started to come again with some really young musicians trying to emulate the masters, and there are a couple masters still around who are performing this type of music. So within that, it sounds more classical, but at the same time, because he's so unique to himself, it really is one of those things that people take as a influence and try to emulate.
So why, first of all, did it sort of disappear from people's radar for a few decades, and then what's brought it back?
It disappeared because of the change of taste of the Turkish public in general. It was always alive in the nightclub scene, but as far as popular music goes, it's really started because there was some sort of a better understanding of our own culture that people tried to dig past and especially with younger musicians, looking back and saying, okay, these are the masters and we got to do something to bring it back.
All right. Let me ask you, I know this can be a thorny question, but a lot of European countries have very ambivalent feelings about their gypsy populations, and the feeling is sort of mutual. A lot of, you know, Roma or gypsy people feel sort of excluded from the mainstream of the countries they live in. Mm-hmm. What is it like in Turkey?
In Turkey, I don't think it's any different than the other countries that that you're referring to. I would like to highlight the fact that the music has been in the public for a very long time, for political reasons and also because of their social economic status. I believe that's the part that's in the news. So what's happening now is that the music part is coming along and saying, you know, this is bringing people together. This is music that's of, you know, Turkish origin, has Turkic roots, has roots all over the world, as a matter of fact. And this is the Turkish version of it in a way. So let's embrace it. And I think the public is responding to that nowadays.
Well, certainly it's become kind of a hip thing here in New York.
Yeah.
You know, there's all these... The quote-unquote downtown scene is full of clarinetists and trumpeters and horn players of every stripe, you know, doing these Balkan rhythms, playing the gypsy music and stuff. Why do you think that has happened here?
that's one of the reasons why we started to put together the festival 5 years ago, and this is our fifth anniversary this year. Our initial feeling from the very beginning was that this is music that's underrepresented in New York, but we do know of people, like you've mentioned, that are playing this type of music, Balkan bands, and these are American bands. It's just that they're influenced by Balkan music. They go to Eastern Europe every year for festivals and spend their summer there touring, and then they come back. So it was really about launching a platform where these local bands could perform, and then adding the real gypsy players coming from Eastern Europe, from the Mediterranean, India, Spain, Central Europe, you name it, and then mixing it all along and programming in such a way that brings in gypsy musicians as well as gypsy-touched artists.
Mm-hmm. And of course, gypsy musicians, you know, that's an easy thing to say. It's a difficult thing to define because from Spain to Turkey on into India, you can find, you know, Roma or gypsy peoples in all those countries. Here's a comment from Thomas from Manhattan. He writes, I'm curious how the Greek and Turkish musical traditions, namely rebetika and traditional folk songs, have influenced Mr. Erkasa considering his Roma background. Do they have distinct differences that don't necessarily mix with the gypsy traditions? So either growing up in Greece and hearing those so-called Greek blues known as rebetika, or being in Turkey and being exposed to Turkish folk songs, are the gypsy, if I can paraphrase Thomas correctly here, I think what he's asking is, the gypsy tradition different from those two, or do they have a common meeting point?
There's a common meeting point in actually the southeastern part of Europe, mainly Bulgaria, Turkey, and Greece, which their choice of instrument is the clarinet. If you go to Eastern Europe, for instance, the choice of instrument is, it's more like brass instruments, a brass
So if you're
dance,
in Macedonia,
you hear the
Serbia,
brass influence more because of the Ottoman military janissary band that brought that sound over there. If you go to India, their choice of instruments are more like percussive and other types of wind instruments. If you go to Spain, actually, flamenco, it's gypsy music. It's totally different.
Right.
So every region has its own sort of like different choice of instruments. And that's the common link between Greece and Turkey.
Well, we've been speaking with Mehmet Ede, who's co-producer of the New York Gypsy Festival. They are presenting Barbaros Erkasa tomorrow night at the Lafayette Grill with the New York Gypsy All-Stars. And Mehmet and Barbaros and the rest of the musicians, thank you so much for being with us on Soundcheck.
Thanks
today.
For having us.
That's going to do it for today's show. Tomorrow, a remake of the 1980 movie Fame hits theaters this weekend, and we'll look at the real-life art schools in New York and in London. Also, the sounds of France by way of Arizona, when singer Marianne Dessard performs live tomorrow on Soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatau, and we had help today from Ajita Shukla. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for another Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM, WNYC.